Hello and welcome to India Career Center, the one-stop podcast for students, professionals, parents and guardians. In every episode, we will try to deal with a current topic that needs expert advice related to career, career guidance and career mentoring. Please welcome your host, Dr. S. Mishra to the show and happy listening.
Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode on India Career Center. Today, I'm really happy to host Dr. G. Senthil Kumar from Salem, who is the chairman of Helix Open School and Learning Center, which is specializing in the field of learning disabilities and taking care of students and children who have learning challenges. I think the school is dedicatedly working for over a couple of decades now. So it could not have been a better guest speaker to speak on this subject. And I'm so honored to have you on this show, Dr. Senthil. Thank you so much for investing your time and welcome to this show.
Thank you, Mishra. It's been always a good to connect and be a part of your show.
Thank you. So to kickstart our discussion, take us quickly through your early life and your career journey so far, so that the audience is able to connect and understand the context of how you have, what you're doing now.
Luckily, we had a very good school in Salem those days. Even today, it's called Holy Cross Matriculation, one of the wonderful, run by the Canadian management those times. So that was a opening for me, like what real education is all about. So 5th standard to 12th standard, the school really made a big change in my life. Coming from a Canadian management institution, so you know very well the discipline part, your communication, those were the more important life skills rather than what we are going to score in the exam or not. So that's a kind of a school. Like it was an overall development was given then. So we used to have more than 30 clubs. Just think of those days, having a 30 clubs, like economics clubs, audio, for audio stuff and other things they had, for radio club. Yeah, I remember radio club. Of course, geography club, history club, and all those things were there. Like, but such different clubs were also there. And we have to be part of 2 clubs every year. That's important for a student other than the studies. Like, see, that's how the management was all about, very forward thinking. That really helped me to understand the education and other part of the life as such. I was a sportsman, I was into cricket. Then I was in the NCC. I was the first sergeant of my school. Then represented Republic Day Parade during 1987, like Rajiv Gandhi was the Prime Minister, Gyani Gail Singh, Shankar Dayal Sharma. It was a golden moment, like those, being a first sergeant of the school, making the school proud there. Then 11th, I took Commerce Group, Economics, Commerce, Accounts, Mathematics, English and Vernacular Tamil. So till 10th standard, it's more of sports and other activities, not concentrating on studies, because we never used to get time at all, because or most of the time we'll be on the ground or on the NCC parade and other things. But that taught us a lot of discipline and focus towards what we need to do. Like, I think today schools are missing out on all those activities. Somewhere we are missing out on all those activities. Luckily, that like in 11th and 12th, I was offered all the courses to take it up, since I was into NCC and made the school proud. The brother Arun, I still remember him. Last year only he passed away. So such a wonderful principal. He really takes care of the students and believes on the potential. He never talks about the talent. He talks always about the effort. See, that is important. Most of the time, what people do is they talk about the talent, like, okay, you have that talent. Talent, discussion is not important. what is the effort that you have done? So that I have learned from him. Like, so in 11th and 12th commerce group, happily did my commerce, stood for the school election. So I was the school people leader. So somewhere that leadership was there in me, like right from the beginning. I used to have a lot of friends, interpersonal skills. Those things were very natural, and schools also provided that opportunity. Later, I moved to PSG College of Arts and Science to pursue my business management. Since my father was an oil mill owner, we were producing castor oil, manufacturing castor oil. I thought that I will take up that as my career. But when I was doing my business management, I understood more than the business, I was very good at people skill. And organization behavior and psychology was my favorite topic during those days. So my professor said, it seems to be like you are more inclined towards HR, organization behavior, psychology. So in MBA, you try to do that. Like, so I was not interested to pursue MBA. I just wanted to move to MSW, Master of Social Work, specializing in medical and psychiatry. So from arts group to completely science thing, like, so most of my professor asked me whether it was the right decision or not. But thanks to all my BBM professors, especially Gopalakrishnan, who studied in US for a brief time and came back as a professor to us, like, he was our HOD. So he used to introduce us to all the magazines, like, so those were the days that Week magazine, even today it is there, but that was introduced then in 1990. So he used to say, come on guys, try to read this. You will see what are the careers that you are going, it's going to upcoming careers. Like. So it's one of, in 1992, 93, I have to finish my UG degree, wherein when I was looking at the Week magazine, that talked about what are the future courses. In that, the third course, which was suggesting, or the area that is going to boom in 2000, those days 2000, since we were 19, 2K, that was the discussion part itself. So always medicine, IT was the first two. The second, third one was very interesting. It talked about mental well-being. Those days. So then I was very clear, like, yes, this is what my passion is all about, because I'm interpersonally, I'm good. Intra also, I'm very good on that. So I had the natural, that ability. So I thought, okay, I can connect with people, like. So connecting with people made me much easier. So I thought, okay, the choice would be better. Instead of MBA, let's take MSW. Again, in that, I wanted to do psychology, not HR. Because in BBM itself, I was good in HR aspects of subjects. So I thought, I don't want to repeat that. Instead, I have an opportunity also to do MSW, medical and psychiatry, and I can take up a HR course also. The university gave us that option. I can read and I can write the exam. So that option was there. So I thought, why not do psychology then, medical and psychiatry? Initial days were very tough because 5 years of no science background, completely biology and everything is out. From day one, I have to go to hospital, discuss with the psychiatrist, psychologist. It was a little tough, but anyway, with the kind of, we always say the grit and other things, and you have the passion, you will do it. And MSW course really suited me well. Because it was only 3 days of college, and rest of the 3 days, we have to be in the field.
Fantastic.
So it's not that 5 days coming to college and doing all the regular stuff. So during my first year of MSW, I had an opportunity to visit 16 institutions. So that is where I went to school, alternative school, disability school, then to industries, hospital setting, community setting, alcoholism, prison. So all these were a great exposure for us. And that observation skill make us to think a lot, like, so that gave me what the life perspective was all about. So then I was very clear, I'm going to be in the field of HR and education. So that I have decided. During my final year, I was very clear. One, I'll be part of the school education. Second, I'll be part of the corporate world where training on organization behavior. So I started honing my skills on those areas. So after completing my MSW in 95, I started preparing for my civil service, Union Public Service Commission. So for that, I was in Chennai. Then I later moved to Delhi. Delhi, you know that Vajiram Rao's, even today, it's there, the institute is there. So I was part of the institute. I was accessing JNU library since my friends were there. It helped me a lot. So during JNU visit, I used to attend certain seminars like. So those days I have seen Arun Jaitley, Manmohan Singh. So they used to come and give their lecture. Though during that course of time, I think if I remember, it was Rita Sengupta, the lady who spoke about alternative education.
Okay.
That really sparked me because I wanted to be in the school education, but not to do the regular schooling. So she talked about open school system.
Right.
In
1996-97.
That gave me a really, okay, in India also we can do this. Until then, I was not at all knowing such things were available in the government side. Like. But during my college days, I used to get inspired by Jittu Krishnamurthy,
okay.
JK schools. That's called KFI. They call it as Krishnamurthy Foundation of India. So Krishnamurthy is a great philosopher. He was born in Madanamballi, Andhra Pradesh. Rishi Valley is a very famous school.
Yes.
Then in Pune, Shayadri, in Bangalore Valley, then in Chennai, the school. And now they have Pathshala in Kanchipuram. These are the schools in India. In abroad also, he has one school in US and UK. So I was inspired by his philosophy when it comes to education. Because in one of his book, he talks about education should not inculcate fear in the minds of the student.
So true.
But unfortunately, later after 1995 or so, education really become a fear factor among the students. Like. So that is where many people got disconnected with the reality. What is real education is all about. So I really wanted to work for children who had these learning challenges. Again, when I was in Delhi, I was in few projects. Because since I was studying, I don't want to waste my time also. I was part of few projects in education and training. One of the project talked about disability. See, those days, we talk only five disabilities. One is the blind, the another one, auditory challenge, then physically disabled. Those days we used to call it as mental retardation. Nowadays we say intellectual challenges. Only locomotion challenge. So these were the five recognized disability those days. Today we have 21 disability listed in the PW Act, Person with Disability Act. That happened in 2016. Parliament passed this bill. Till then, nobody knew what is dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, dyspraxia, dysemia. These are all minor challenges, but causes a lot of challenges for the child to continue in the regular stream. Now, this is what we called as specific learning disability. When you say simple learning disability, there are other classifications. Since I am unable to see, I cannot read.
Correct.
So that's a secondary problem. But whereas with specific learning disability, children are normal. When I say normal, average intelligence, their intelligence is 90, but still they are not able to perform. They are not able to read. They are not able to write. Because of that, examination is a challenge. All those things. So these things were not aware in most of the places, or none of the education institution were able to understand this problem those days. In 1998, when I came down to Salem to start my career, When I visited schools, their school said such problems are not there. These children are lazy children. Extra tuition will do it. So we don't want your support. Okay, I understood. It's more of an awareness is needed rather than pushing something. So I firmly decided that I'm going to be in this field. I wanted to create an institution wherein it should be research based and wherein children should be given a lot of life skill orientation, subject flexibility. That's how the Helix Open School was started in the year 2000.
Right. And so during the Delhi days, you decided about your PhD as well? When did that happen?
95, when I left the college, I informed my then HOD, Dr. Muralidharan. I informed him, sir, I will come back to do a PhD with you. He just laughed at me and said, I'm not sure that you are going to do a PhD because you are a guy, you are going to venture a lot of things. Sure, you will not come into an academic area at all. But I informed him very clearly, sir, I'll come back. So after 10 years, after having all the experience only, I wanted to do PhD. So after 10 years, I went, I registered. He was very surprised. Even then he said, anyway, I'm going to be a research guide for you. I'm sure you will not pass the, because I was into direct PhD. Okay. No, I didn't do my MPhil. It was a direct PhD. In direct PhD, anyway, you have to write part one. That was compulsory. You have to do an MPhil. You have to write the three papers and all those stuffs were there. He thought I will not write the exam. And even if I write the exam, he thought I will not pass.
Qualify.
Because of my busy schedule of traveling and doing training, doing a lot of stuff by then. Luckily, I passed because of the experience that I had. The examination was nothing for me because it was all practical. I passed and I completed my PhD. He was a mentor who really believed in what I was doing. From day one, he supported me. He said, Sendhil, this is important and you have to do. So that's how PhD happened.
And what is the subject area for you?
It is school social work. How important a school social worker's principal contributing to the entire school environment.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah, because see, in abroad, you have social workers in school.
Correct.
Social workers in community.
Mm.
Unfortunate in India, still school social worker is not been recognized at all.
Mm.
Only in Kerala, the GO has been passed that MSW students who have done medical and psychiatry has to be posted in a school as a school social worker.
Mm.
See, my PhD was the first PhD in India which talked about school social work.
Very good.
Previously, an Indian author called Dr. Anjali Gandhi. She was a professor in Jamia Islamia University. She has written a book in 1985 or 87, a book on school social work on an Indian perspective.
Wow.
Previously, all the references would be only abroad, people would have done in US or UK and other places. So when I was looking for primary data and secondary data, I didn't have any primary data at all in Indian context at all. Then in Pondicherry University, one of the professor called Dr. Nalini informed me, there is a person called Dr. Anjali Devi in India. She is the only person who have done a research on school social work. And yes, she has written a book on school social work.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to Flipkart and ordered, it said out of stock, out of print and out of stock. I got the address from Dr. Nalini. I wrote letter after letter to her for about 6 months. I didn't get any response, but I didn't get frustrated. I started my data collections because she was in US. Those days, that email, we don't know whether they will be seeing or not. So writing letter is the best part. And phone number also, she was not picking up. Later, 6 months back, I had a call from Dr. Anjali Gandhi. I said, I'm Anjali Gandhi. what are you doing? Like, why are you sending so many letters to me? Like, I said, ma'am, you are the only person that you have written a book on school social work, and I wanted to do my PhD on that. So can you help me out? She goes, you are so fascinated, and a wonderful lady. She came down all the way from Delhi to meet me. To respect her, we conducted a national level conference on school social work in PhD.
Fantastic.
So she brought one book. She said, this is my last book, Sendhil, which I'm going to give to you in my, so I have that copy in my library. That's close to my heart. That's how I started the PhD.
Okay, great. Excellent. So many fascinating stories to really learn from your journey so far. So moving on, learning disabilities, as you said, now there are 21 listed disabilities, which is recognized by an act in the parliament. At the same time, do you feel that there's still a lot of work to be done with respect to really reaching that information to the ground level onto the schools, even in cities as well? I don't know about these in the towns or tier 2, tier 3 cities, but at least in the bigger cities, is there a acceptability that there are so many different types of challenges, and hence the kind of support which is required for the students is required?
It's a very good question. Like, see, India is such a big country with the geographical thing and population. Then we have around 30-35% of our young population. Almost when I take about 20-30, it's almost 60%. Okay. But the school going children are in a huge population now. Like, again, the schools, unfortunately, the BH structure does not have a program on learning disability till 2015 or so. And after that, only people just made a part of that as a subject. And we as an expert used to go and talk for only 2 days, only 2 days about what is learning disability. But still the awareness is must. People are very confused when we talk about dyslexia with intellectual challenges. So there need to be a lot of awareness which is required. Very good that Sarva Shiksha Abhiyan in Tamil Nadu, Maharashtra, Kerala, in other parts of the country, they did a wonderful job training the teachers, like government teachers.
Right.
But again, resource is very important. Your resources are very important.
Yeah.
That's where still the gap is there.
Yeah, I mean, the unfortunate part is that the NEP, for example, suggests that every school should have a counseling staff. I mean, at least the bare minimum counseling should be done. And I believe there is a new initiative called the PM Sri. There are a certain number of schools which have been recognized by this PM Sri initiative, where it is mandatory that some amount of psychological support or psychometric support should be done. But on the ground, how much it is really happening is something which is difficult to assess.
See, very recently, just last week, we attended an international conference on education at Chennai, wherein the consultant to Indian government with regard to disability, she was there. And she was giving us a data, what is the reality, and what actually it's in the market like. It's very staggering. Okay. Still, people have to come forward. When I say people, the parent have to accept and come forward and meet the clinical person and understand what this challenge is. Until then, it's not going to be reported at all. Because still in India, it's been felt as stigma. Not only in India, all over the world, the stigma is there. Yeah, mandatorily, NEP says that you have to have an inclusion. For that inclusion, you need to have a psychologist, you need to have a social worker, you need to have an occupation therapist, all those things inside the school. The law is there. But it's going to take time. We need to also understand. See, how many psychology colleges are there? Even when you say, okay, 100 or 500 colleges are there, how many people who are going to study that are going to come for this work?
Yes.
So it is not just studying a basic degree in psychology will solve this problem. So you have to do a PG degree, then you have to get specialized, then you have to take a special training. Because as of now, professors are not equipped.
Right.
Even the professors, they know to handle psychology. They need to handle the specialist. Say, if it's applied psychology, they will teach applied psychology. If it is counseling psychology, they will teach counseling psychology. But when it comes to specific learning disability, now these people need to have a kind of an experience. By only theory, you cannot teach all these things. So the faculty development is also important in college level. And then otherwise, you need to have a diploma programs wherein private people like us with our own experience, we run an NGO. So my certification is approved by the local university, Periyar University. People have to take that.
Okay.
So such things are happening. I would say when I consider 1997 to now, Tamil Nadu, Kerala, Karnataka, Andhra, Maharashtra have done a great work.
Fantastic.
I'm not sure about other places because other places, long time it's been, I have traveled to Orissa and the previously I've done it. I'm sure now Orissa and other things are also taken at this very seriously and they are going to train people now. That's what the expert informed us in the conference. So I see a lot of positives in Indian context. Now principals are given awareness by the NCERT board. By CBSE, they send us a lot of circular. So it's mandatory that training is happening. Basic training is happening in all CBSE schools. With regard to Tamil Nadu, yes, as a forerunner, I know that I was a special resource person for Tamil Nadu for 10 years.
Okay.
I have trained more than 20,000 teachers.
Fantastic.
So things are happening.
Okay.
Now at least a teacher knows what is learning disability.
Okay.
But with regard to doing a remedial program, intervention, I think we need more people and resource and facilities, infrastructure.
Okay. So for those people, I mean, you said by and large, the south and western part of India is progressed, at least in terms of the school's understanding about this subject. For rest of the people, can we briefly talk about how do you define this learning disability? And you said 21 different disabilities are there. If you can briefly touch upon them, at least some amount of awareness will go through this conversation.
Okay. See, when I say specific learning disability, it is a neurological challenges. It's a challenge in the brain wiring. When we say brain, let's not worry. Because end of the day, whatever it happens here. The learning happens here. The problem is using these technical jargons. See, that is why it is for our own knowledge level, I am saying this neurological part and other things. For the layman people to understand, it is a processing challenge. That's all. There is an input, process, output.
Correct.
So in input, these children are fair enough. They don't have challenges. Few children might have challenges. Then it comes into different category. With regard to specific learning disability, at least 80% of the children will not have any of the problem in the sensory aspect of it. So they take the information, the data has been taken. When it is in process, there is a little challenges. Okay. In the process, we call it as perpetual skills. See, when I say cat, for you, you don't have any problem. So you will say the spelling is C-A-T, cat. But few children who have these challenges will write it as KAT cat. Okay. People might think he has not understood. Repeatedly, he will make this mistake. This we call it as discrimination. Sound okay. discrimination, or we will call it as auditory discrimination or visual discrimination.
Okay.
His IQ is great. His IQ will be 90 plus. Because when we say average IQ, it should be 90 above. For dyslexic children, IQ will be always 90 above.
Right.
So in that category, he is passed. He is average. Or we call it as, we should not use this word normal, but people used to say, laymen used to say normal. Like, as an expert, we don't use that word. We say it's an average intelligent with 90 above. Even a person with 120 IQ, 130 IQ can also have these challenges.
Yes.
Albert Einstein, Winston Churchill, Tom Cruise, Stephen Spielberg. In India, Abhishek Bachchan was the first person to come out and say that, yes.
Even Amir Khan, I will.
Not Amir Khan.
Okay. Dyslexia?
No. That's no.
Okay. He did a movie on dyslexia.
Yeah, Tareezam. So Tareezam Inpar gave us a kind of an understanding towards this subject.
Correct.
Okay, so a child is very normal, doing extraordinarily all other work. But only when it comes to reading, writing, spelling, he is fumbling. So that is where we have to be very careful. So this, we call it as, this discrimination could be a challenge for this child. Sound or auditory challenge. Like that, there are 8 areas.
Okay.
Okay. That's called, we call it as perpetual skills.
Okay.
When child have a challenge here, because it's here. It cannot be seen.
Correct.
Only one is expressing by writing or speaking, only you can understand this.
Correct.
Same letter C, when it is spelt as city, he will write it as S-I-T-Y. For cat, it was K-A-T.
Correct.
For city is S-I-T-Y.
Correct.
When you say phone, he will write it as F-O-N-E, phone.
Phone.
It will be a repeated mistake. You teach him 100 times, he will do this mistake. In regular school, that's how teachers are trained.
Correct.
Then people say, okay, you teach phonetics, immediately child will change.
Right.
Then phonetics was introduced. But unfortunately, phonetics are done only till your KG.
I know. After that, nobody talks about it.
Nobody talks about it. For few children, you have to do till third standard.
Okay.
That's important. See, we all know that brain after the birth, it's still in the developmental aspect.
Yes.
Till 6 years, 6.5 years, we have to wait.
Correct.
So that it gets connected. And lifelong, the neuroplasticity. Then came 1970, the neuroplasticity theory was on the limelight, which said, yes, children can be trained. Then only lot of material came in, lot of training came, but it all came from the Western world. People who are able to afford, they went to the Western world, they came. Children who were comfortable in English, they were able to take that. But India is predominantly a vernacular language based country. Each state has different vernacular. So that is where your vernacular things needed the material support. So we started. So one of the aspect I'm talking about is dyslexia. There are dyslexia means challenges in spelling because of that reading, because of that writing. Then there is something called dyscalculia.
Okay.
It's problem in mathematics alone.
Somebody doesn't like mathematics.
It's not like mathematics. The child has a challenge in mathematics.
Right.
Your basic operation itself, the child will have problem.
Correct.
Your plus, minus.
Yeah.
Your all directions. Up, down. south, west, east, north, all those things are challenge for these children. Like, so because of that, the basic, maybe they will know the plus and minus. After that, the multiplications and divisions becomes very challenged. Then you can say there is integers, then percentage, all those things becomes really difficult for the child. Like. So this is dyscalculia. Then comes dysgraphia. Okay. Graphia means it's writing. Future challenges in writing.
Okay.
Very, very shabby, wherein they know the subject, but they cannot write. That's again a challenge.
So when you say dysgraphia, basically those are the people who cannot express while writing, or no. They are very bad in presentation.
Orally, they will say, but while writing,
okay,
the presentation, okay, and even the letters and the scribbling aspect.
Okay.
Unbelievably, like you cannot read
messy.
It.
Messy. Right.
So that's again another challenge. A child can have only dyslexia or only dyscalculia or only dysgraphia, but other child will have all these three problems.
All the three together.
This is where school is finding difficult to assess.
Okay.
So teachers are not very clear about this concept.
Okay.
Apart from that, there is one more called dyspraxia, that is locomotion challenge.
Okay.
Children with dyspraxia will have a trouble in their language also, and in the written part, moving part. So it's a combination of problem.
Okay.
Sorry, challenge, not problem, challenge.
Right.
Then we have something called dysemia. Dysemia is social awkwardness.
So people like to be introvert.
Very intelligent, but unfortunately, even the dressing part or the communication part, all those things will not suit what their real intelligence is all about. That's called social awkwardness. That's called dysemia. Like this, you have autism.
Right.
Hyperactive. Attention deficits. Now, all these things are other challenges.
Right.
So to classify this, we need a very good clinical person with clinical psychologist. Then we need a remedial teacher. That's again, a special educator is important. This is where India needs more professionals. Because the disability population, we say it will be around, SLD alone will be 12 to 15%.
Really?
Yeah.
There are no official data to back this.
Official data says NCERT has done a research.
Okay.
They said it's around 8% to 10%.
Hmm.
But in real context, when we people have seen in our own centers and other things, it goes up to 12 to 15.
Okay.
As of now, we predict around 3.5 crore children will have this challenge.
My goodness.
But reported is somewhere around 60 to 75 lakhs.
Oh God.
This is what reported. Thanks to Corona, after that only a lot of reports started.
Why? Corona, why that happened?
No, during Corona only parents were really able to understand the child because they were...
Oh, they were able to see them at home.
Yes. Previously, they thought school is not doing properly. Teachers are not good.
Right.
Now, when they started looking and observing the child in the home for 2 years, they were able to see something. Oh, my child is very smart, but he is struggling here.
Okay.
Then Corona gave us an opportunity for all of us to do a seminar. So many people were looking at what to do. So they joined the seminar. Then they started understanding, oh, this could be a problem for my child.
Correct.
Then they started consulting the specialist. So for one aspect, thanks to Corona. For awareness purpose, it helped us a lot.
Right.
So this is something a data like around 3.5 crore people have been predicted, but it's only 60 to 75 lakhs is reported.
And obviously, if this is not detected early by parents or by teachers, then this remains unsolved with the people, and that inefficiency creeps up throughout their life.
Before the neuroplasticity theory, people said this is a permanent disability.
Okay.
It's a lifelong. Now, after 1970, the neuroplasticity theory says with the due training, proper identification, due training, the things can be modifiable and trained.
Okay.
But still the 10%, 20% struggle will be there.
Hmm.
So catch them young is the mantra now.
Right.
So early child centers are important. So the reduction is important. So we need to have some universal assessment also.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just do with only English. You need to do with vernacular.
Okay. So, I mean, the young people, young parents who are watching this or listening to our conversation, what would be your advice to them? Because the limitation of a school is still there. I mean, that is something which we cannot address immediately. Of course, there are progress, as you mentioned, from 97 onwards till now. There are substantial steps taken by different states to progress in certain direction. But obviously, it is not going to be addressing the complete solution. So, young parents, I mean, parents with young children who are at home and they are sensing that there's something wrong, they should not panic and they should actually do certain number of steps. And I would want you to tell what are those basic steps which they can take.
See, first for the young parents, which is very important because they are all learned, they are very mature. Because of that also, there is a problem. Because they have learned, that's a problem. Because they're not able to accept. They are not able to accept. Like, And the young parents are glued only to the Google material. Because of that, they sometimes it's misinterpreted. So they should not get panic first.
Correct.
First, they should understand the basic growth and development of a child. See, for the understanding, if they go to a gynecologist, when during the pregnancy itself, with the gynecologist, they can take up a discussion, what will be the growth and development stage and what are the chart that is available. Because when the child is born, in 3 to 6 months, the child has to turn. Then it has to,
crawl,
then sit, then stand, walk. By then, speech comes, language comes.
Yeah.
So we need to understand this growth and development aspect of it. Once they understand the growth and development till the age of 3.5 to 5, there is a chart available.
Correct.
If you Google it, there is a chart is there. Sometimes it varies from country to country, not on a larger scale, for a 2 months to 3 months period. Okay. So that kind of a basic awareness is required for the young parent to understand the growth and development of the child.
Right.
Once they know that, they can see the difference. If they spot the difference, don't get panic. Go to a psychologist. If a clinical psychologist is available in your place, first go to a clinical psychologist.
Correct.
Suppose if you don't have a clinical psychologist, go to a psychologist who have experience in this field. Even if you don't have a psychologist, then you'll have a special educator.
Correct.
So these are the people will be there to help you out and make you to understand.
Right.
So let's not panic immediately. Doctors will always there to guide you. Then the support system is there, psychologist, psychiatrist, clinical psychologist, applied psychologist, educational psychologist, counseling psychologist. All these things are now coming up in India in a bigger way.
Correct.
So all these people will have an awareness of what this is all about.
Fantastic.
I'm sure in all the town, now most of them have done psychology and they are doing it. But make sure whether they are trained, they have that experience.
Right. And If somebody wants to reach out to you, of course, I will share your contact details on the show notes. They can always drop in a mail or call you, and they can reach out to you as well. Of course, you may not be present everywhere physically, but probably some of the calls you
no,
can
we
take.
Have, we have a very strong support system. We
okay.
have a psychologist in our team. We have applied psychologists. We have a clinical psychologist. We have an occupation therapist. Full-fledged unit, like since we are in this field for 23 years, we are the pioneer in this part of the country. Like when it comes to Salem, I'm the pioneer, so that's where we are predominantly known in Tamil Nadu. So we have a center, and of course, thanks to Corona, I was able to reach out to all over the world. So people from France, people from Germany, Tanzania, that was a surprise for me, Tanzania. And many people from Punjab and Delhi, they went through our program. We have an online program also.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's talk a little more about your school now, Helix. As you said, you started in 2000. And tell us a little more about this school, how it is operating. What are the different things which you're doing through this school?
See, we are a specially accredited, it's called SAIDA, okay? It's a specially accredited center by NIOS, National Institute of Open Schooling.
Okay.
So we are the first school in Salem, or we are the only school in Salem as of now to cater to A-level certificate, B-level and C-level. When I say A-level, it's third standard. B-level, it's fifth standard. C level, it's 8th standard, then secondary 10th standard, senior secondary 12th standard. So that is how in NIOS it's done. Your child can register in NIOS. If they want to be a part of a learning center, they can come and do it. Actually, it is not required. They can be from home and they do a homeschooling. But since we are a specially accredited center, in rural part or even in a city, parents cannot teach them regularly in a daily walk of life. They have to go to job. They have their own things. So in our center, it's a day program center, and we have like boarding also. Wherein what we do is we first assess the child. A clinical psychologist will assess. Then our, my wife is again a psychologist. She has done her MPhil in learning disability. She took up a training in NIMS Higher Secunderabad. She was the architect in all the assessment and remedial programs and teacher training. So that will be the second step. After the assessment, she will assess. Once the assessment done, we will know which category the child is.
Right.
Now, the category is all for only clinical purpose. Please understand.
Correct.
That will not be informed to the student.
Okay. Yeah.
It is only for clinical reporting, because which is very important, mandatory also. Because tomorrow, if you want to get concession from the government, we have to apply this. We have to submit this information to the government to get the board exam relaxation. So this will be the second step. So once it comes to the report is being seen by the concerned authority in Helix Open School, then we will we will counsel the parent first.
Right.
We will inform, okay, it for a basic remedial program, it might take 1 year or 2 years. Simultaneously, he will also go through the education also with vocational guidance. That vocational is important for any child. For this particular child, it's must, I would say.
Right.
So in our school, we start the vocation even at the age of 8 itself. The introduction will be done.
Okay.
Basic electrical, plumbing, basic cooking, farming, fine arts, all these things will be given introduction side by side, simultaneously. Parallelly, all these things will happen. And occupational therapy will go through for the children who have those challenges.
Okay.
So learning happens, remedial happens, subjects happens, vocation also happens simultaneously.
Fantastic. It's like a 360 degree actually.
Correct. We follow multiple intelligence theory strongly by Harvard Gardner. Our lesson plan is integrated with that theory. So children get opportunity to explore in all those intelligence.
Fantastic.
So from, say, from 8 years, when the child, 7, 8 only, they will come to the school. 7 years, 8 years only, they will identify it and they will come. Even now, they come after 13 years and 15 years.
Okay.
But considering the previous thing, now we are happy that awareness has happened. So people are coming much earlier.
Okay.
So when they come much earlier, when the 7 and 8 years, our work would be much easier to identify and move forward.
And also it is easier for you to mold people in the right direction.
Very true. Last year, from Bangalore, one child was referred. He was 14 years. He was in 15, 10 standard. And the school said, we cannot do it. So when we came, he came for the assessment, his reading, see, he is a smart guy. If you see his artwork and sports, unbelievable.
Okay.
Unbelievable. But his reading age, I would call it as, when I say not the maturity, the reading age, the spelling age, we call it as.
Okay.
That is second standard level.
Oh God.
You can only read that words, not the sentence at all. That is only the difficulty. Otherwise, smart child, unbelievable smart child.
Okay.
But you can see the age now, 14 years, 15 years.
Yeah.
This will take at least another 2-3 years for him to run through this.
Remedial program.
Remedial program.
Right.
So by the time he has to take up his 10th or 12th standard, he will be around 17, 18. So that will be a disturbing thing for the parent and sometimes even for the child. So this is where coming earlier would solve many of our challenges.
Fantastic. That's fantastic. So now let's briefly understand how you run through these remedial programs. What are the different things? If you can briefly tell, I know it is not a subject which you can squeeze in 2 minutes, but if you can tell us.
When we say remedial, it is there are around strategies. Remedial is all about not reteaching the same thing.
Correct.
People understand remedial means asking them to write for 10 times or giving some shortcut, reducing the subject. That's not remedial.
Correct.
Remedial is a scientific process of teaching a child how to read and how to write when he has this difficulty.
Okay.
So first, that's where the phonetics comes in the first place.
Okay.
Now, after phonetics, there is something called word strategy.
Okay.
How to identify the word, how to dissect the word. Then comes reading strategy. Spelling strategy. Writing strategy. Study skill strategies. Then all this, again, in study skills, you have mind mapping and various other things. Then visualization as a strategy. Then thinking strategy.
Fantastic.
So all these things are called as, then paraphrasing and all those things comes in like. This is what we call it as a remedial program.
Okay. So for everything, there is a structure.
A very structured program. When you learn this, you can see a significant change in the child's reading that will give him a lot of confidence. The self-esteem will go high. He is ready to move.
Fantastic.
Today, technology is there. Our school, in open school in India, we are the only school to be accredited by Microsoft.
Wow.
We are a Microsoft showcase school.
Okay.
2021, during Corona period, article was carried by Microsoft about our work. So it is there in the domain, the public domain.
Great.
So we teach children the technology part so that the technology helps them to overcome to a significant part on this disability also.
Okay. So in the last 23 years, I'm sure there would have been number of successful stories. If you can just talk about one or two top of the mind
successful. 800 students have passed from my institute, have right. all moved out. They are from different field. Engineers are there. No doctors so far. So engineers are there. They are in business people. Most of them are business guys because they love. Now the trend is moving towards technology.
Okay.
We are very strong in mass communication and visual communication.
Okay.
So my first batch students, five guys, all the five are stars, I would say. One is now a great textile missionary business owner who has a partner in China. He lives in China, comes back and earns money in dollars. Okay.
Okay.
A dyslexic. Completed 10th standard from our school, was unable to complete diploma, second year dropout, but today is a owner into the textile machinery field.
Fantastic.
Second one is a HR in one of the multinational company.
Okay.
Third one is an agriculturalist and doing a wonderful job. Fourth one runs a textile business, okay. trading business.
Trading business, okay.
Fifth one running an electrical shop.
Wow.
That's a first batch.
Okay.
5 years back, I have a guy called Charan. Since because those five students have not, I'm not going to reveal them their names because they never wanted to do it. So,
okay.
But this child has said, sir, wherever you go, please talk about me, sir. Because that. So he is Charan
okay.
from Pondicherry, uh-huh. dyslexic, now works for Phantom FX company, VFX company.
Wow.
India's biggest VFX company, which makes movies.
Mm.
So that's where he is working. We identified him quite early at the age of 12. We identified his potential and talent. We groomed him according to that. He completed Bachelor of Fine Arts from Chennai Government College. And today he is working as a content artist in Phantom FX company.
Fantastic.
So a lot of stories are there. This few of them.
I know it is so fascinating. I think you are doing your profession is so fascinating that every day you have to do something new, think new. Because the next child who is coming to you will not be same as what you have seen in the last 23 years.
No, that's and, a right question. See, that's the right thing you said. It's not the
correct.
Question, right statement. Because of these children only, I was able to venture into so many fields to understand that field. So since I'm also a corporate trainer, that helped me a lot to connect the corporate world into this alternative system.
Fantastic. So true.
Thanks to Ashok Leyland. Thanks to textile company called Eastman. Thanks mm-hmm. to KVB Bank who are supporting us in the infrastructure of the lab, what we have set up. So now these people have seen our success story.
Fantastic.
So that now the challenge is building the infrastructure, giving them the right technology.
Mm.
We are now into the research of virtual reality. We have introduced.
Okay.
We are working with our children. Very soon, VR will be part of our student learning.
Great.
So I would say thanks to these students because of them, as rightly say, informed by you, the other child is different.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the other exciting thing which is coming up is the use of AI.
Very true.
I'm sure AI is going to dramatically change everything what we are doing. All of us, actually.
Last month, our student took up a program on AI. They learned 20 tools already.
Wow.
So that with that, they are now hoping up their educational and other presentation skills.
Fantastic. Great. Great. I know. I mean, I can keep on talking to you, and it's a fascinating area. It's an area where a large amount of awareness is required, and one of the reason to host you today is to really spread that awareness amongst all the parents. In any case, the future of work every year is going to be different. So even every child is special. They may have some challenges on some areas, but they'll be fantastic in some areas which is totally unexplored. And as you rightly said, I think by taking the support from the specialist in the field of psychology, psychoanalysis, psychiatrists, and so on, we can actually explore what is the real strength of the child and encourage them in that direction. And that should be the main strategy. Of course, you have all your strategies which you use on specific children. So it was great talking to you. Any last words you would like
for
to
the
say?
Youngsters, since you are part of this career counseling and giving this awareness, I want the parents, when children say that, "Papa, I'm interested in this. Mama, I'm interested in this," please, for heaven's sake, give them the opportunity.
Absolutely, I agree.
The early opportunity and exposure is very important for the brain connections, the neuro connections.
Mm-hmm.
The more the opportunity you're going to give, the child will be able to take a better decision. Because many children have the struggle of coming to 10th standard and unable to decide what to do.
Mm.
Some of them, even after deciding what they have to do in 11 and 12, when they complete 12th standard, they get confused of what the program they have to take.
Correct.
So this is where the parent should believe in scientific career guidance process.
Absolutely.
See, this is where we are lacking. The studied people, the well-known people also, they miss out. They think they are better in giving career guidance. No, career guidance is a scientific process.
Absolutely, I agree with you.
You parents, please, when they complete 9th standard or 8th standard end, get them a career counseling done, a career assessment done.
Yeah.
Why I'm saying 8th standard is important, because 6th, 7th and 8th only, they will start knowing the subjects.
Correct.
Physics, chemistry, and all those stuffs like geography, ecology, environment, business, etc., etc., etc. 9th and 10th is a time for the child to explore again. Once you do a career assessment, you will know in the 12 areas where your child is interested.
Exactly.
Interests are subject to change. We all know that.
Yes.
That is why I'm saying 8th standard is the right age, because 9, 10, he will explore. Then he will understand, okay, let me take first group or second group or whatever the group. Based on that, the college can be decided.
Correct.
Few children would have been very good in physics, very good in chemistry, but parent would have said, like, go to engineering.
Correct.
It's not necessary at all. Go to a BSc chemistry program. Go to a BSc physics program. Then do a metallurgy. Then you move on in life. You have so many opportunities today in India.
Absolutely.
Liberal studies are coming up now.
Yes, absolutely.
Culinary studies are coming up now. India is the real gateway opening for different subjects to be studied.
Correct.
Humanities is going to be the key subject for tomorrow.
Yes, yes.
The NEP has already stated very clearly, interdisciplinary, multidisciplinary students only going to shine the world.
Absolutely.
If you are a science student, think of commerce also. I'm an example. I did my commerce, I did my science. So I have 2 degrees. One is a commerce degree, business management. Second one is a science degree that's called Master of Social Work in Medical and Psychiatry. Today, I'm working for school students, college students, SME owners, corporate, I'm doing training program. So this is what the young parents should understand, and schools should also take this career guidance as a serious thing.
Absolutely.
Career guidance cannot be done in 11 and 12. It has to start as young as possible. This would be the very important thing for the listeners. Like, and for youngsters, do any program, you will shine in this world.
Yeah.
Any program in this world. There is nothing called if you study Tamil or Telugu, you will not get a job or not. Today, language is important.
Absolutely.
So physics is important, maths is important, statistics is important. Get into pure science, get into commerce, anything, economics.
Yeah.
You have the life, I would say, rather than thinking only engineering and other subjects.
Absolutely, I agree with you. And in fact, any subject you take up, in any case, the world of work is changing so rapidly.
Yeah.
That whatever you study, whether you're studying your engineering or any other undergraduate course, or you're doing your master's course, I can vouch for the future that in future you will have to study more and learn more. So that's how it is.
For the last thing, today I have done my program in hospital setting.
Correct.
I need to understand about hospital.
Yes.
Tomorrow I am going to a school setting. Day after I am going for a small business owners.
Exactly.
So I have to be a multidisciplinary person.
Absolutely.
So that to understand what is the change is going to come. That's the order of the life, the order of the day, like I would say.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And great. I think it has been really fascinating to learn about what you're doing and your personal journey. I think it's quite inspiring to a lot of people. I'm sure all your fans across the world and a lot of my followers will actually enjoy this conversation. And then most importantly, will learn something about this subject, which is so important, especially parents with young children at home. Please take this very seriously. And it is not the end of the world. It is an opportunity which is there. You just have to explore it. So with those words, I thank once again Dr. Senthil Kumar to be part of this conversation today, and hope to catch you again in some new subject, and hope to learn more about your...
You can also think of some doing a one-hour awareness program for your parents.
Absolutely. I think we'll do that. We'll definitely do that. Yeah. We will raise a kind of a survey and find out when people want to really catch up. And we'll definitely organize one session.
They can visit the website also.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed this episode. We sincerely wish you could take something from our conversation today and be able to apply it to your life in a positive way. We value your feedback. This can help us improve our future episodes. So share your thoughts to serve you better. If you want us to focus on a topic which you think is of importance, let us know. We will share our expertise in future episodes. So, see you soon with a new topic and help you in your career journey.